Our first gospel lesson is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, an expert in the law, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 16. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. So this morning is Father's Day, as you all know, and we celebrate Father's Day every year because many of you, or most of you at least, are deserving of being celebrated every year. But we also celebrate Father's Day every year because fatherhood is a journey, right? It's not just a one-time thing that we celebrate. No father ever wakes up and says, "Well, that's it. I've done it. I figured it all out. I'm now exactly the father I wanted to be." Fatherhood, instead, is the sum of one ordinary act after another. One bedtime story read, one ride to school, one difficult conversation, one moment when you are exhausted and you'd much rather think about yourself, but you choose your child instead. Day by day and year by year, you become the father that you hope to be. And in many ways, that is exactly what Jesus is talking about in today's gospel. So just before this, Peter is holding up this vision of the Messiah as this powerful king, with the kind of strength that the world recognizes. And Jesus has been telling them that he's on his way to be killed. So he admonishes Peter. Jesus says to him, basically, "Peter, you are thinking about this all wrong in human terms, in accordance with the rules of the world, but I'm talking about how God works." And then he looks his disciples square in the eye and he says to them, "If you want to be my followers, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." As with so many of the things that Jesus tells his disciples, and by extension us, it's a puzzling directive. What does he mean? What is the cross? What is he talking about? In our popular culture, That phrase has been badly misused and misunderstood. We often refer to it as something of an inconvenience, some sort of suffering we feel we have to endure. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here, right? I mean, think about the context in which he's speaking to them. He's telling them about what the Messiah must endure. And then listen to what he says to them. If you want to become my followers, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. So what is the cross for Jesus? Is it suffering? No. Jesus doesn't pick up the cross just for the sake of suffering. Christ picks up his cross for the sake of love. Christ denies in himself his human desire to avoid pain and suffering and humiliation so that he might pick up the cross for the sake of love for you and me. And then he asks us to do the same. So, what is the cross? The cross is choosing love when love costs us something. The cross is the collision between what I naturally want for myself and what love requires of me. So sometimes what I want is my own comfort, but love requires me to show up, to go out of my way for someone else. Sometimes what I really want is to be right, but love requires me to listen, to put someone else's perspective above my own. And sometimes what I want is to protect myself, but love requires me to forgive. Love requires me to recognize the pain in someone else instead. And sometimes what I want is to stay completely uninvolved and unaware of all the things going on in the world around me, but love requires me to care. Love requires me to get involved. The cross is that collision between what I naturally want for myself and what love requires of me. Peter's thinking here is human thinking. This is our way of thinking. It comes naturally to us. It says, protect yourself, avoid pain, secure your position, look out for yourself and for your own little crew at all costs. But Jesus came to show us another way. And it's a way that looks weak and foolish to the world, but is actually the way that leads to life. And that is perfect love. Not perfect in the sense of without any mistake or error. This is perfect in the sense of whole and complete. As John Wesley puts it, it is a heart fully devoted to God, a life increasingly shaped by love of God and neighbor. That is the cross that Christ is calling us to pick up every day. Perfect love. The humble, gentle, patient love of God, myself, and my neighbor every day. Again and again in ordinary acts of love. Like with the rude cashier who's ugly to me for no reason at all. Or the very difficult relative that I have trouble getting along with. With the coworker who takes credit for your work. For the person who got exactly what you think they deserved. The cross is the perfect, humble, gentle, patient love of God and myself and my neighbor. If you just love the people that God puts in front of you every day, you will always have an opportunity to pick up your cross. I hope by now that you have realized that this task before you is completely impossible. The love that you are called to is not natural. Left to our own devices, we love the people we feel are worthy of our love. But this love, the love that Christ models for us, and the love that we are called to pick up every single day, it is supernatural love. To love as Christ loves, to really, really love, it cannot be done. It is a love that we do not have within ourselves. What is needed is grace, God's presence, working in us over time, slowly loosening the grip of fear and self-protection and making us capable of more love than we thought we had in us. But fortunately for us, Jesus does not command us to feel like taking up our cross. He just asks us to do it. And by God's grace, to take up our cross in perfect, humble, gentle, patient love as an action. Fathers, the best fathers, know something about this. Because the man who commits to being a really great father acts out of love with a higher purpose in mind. He chooses to show up, to be a source of love and stability and patience and truth and kindness, especially when it costs him something, especially when it costs him his own physical or emotional comfort. The best fathers practice love even when they don't always feel particularly loving. And that is also what Jesus is calling us to do. Because here's the thing, there is no version of following Christ that is comfortable and safe. There is no taking up of our cross while simultaneously asking very little of ourselves. Christ knows where he is headed when he's speaking to the disciples and to us, and still he asks that we follow him. Christ calls us to stop standing in front of the cross or simply wearing it around our necks and instead to pick it up. He invites us to lay down the self that we protect so fiercely and instead pick up the much more infinitely meaningful work of love, real love, the love that shows up and acts when it would be so much easier to just look away. But that is transforming, life-giving love. Do you want to be transformed? Do you? Do you want to be transformed? Because that is life-giving love. That is transforming, life-giving love. The cross of love that Jesus carries to Calvary cost him something, and it will cost us something too. But that is where love is found. So by the grace of God, may we discover that the burden we thought was suffering was love. And the road that looked to us as loss was really life all along. Amen.